When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We have reached the halfway point of our second program at the Hilton San Destin Beach Hotel in Miramar Beach. It is a beautiful beach when the weather cooperates, and I understand the skies look like they're clearing up a little bit, so we may try to go back outside. Not that it matters to anyone here, but the poor crew that has to take us back and forth. But Blake Topmeyer joining us from the USA Today Networks. And Blake, it's great to see you. I've asked a lot of people about the hot button issues that we've seen, but you're a reporter and a columnist. What have you found most intriguing so far this week?
Well, I think the schedule debate remains most intriguing, Paul. I mean, for all the conversation about NIL and sports wagering and some of the issues we've seen pop up in that area, those are important topics, no doubt, right? But I think for me, the debate between 8 or 9 games continues to be the hot button issue. I'm not sure about you, but I haven't heard anything this week that leads me to strongly believe that we're on the verge of the SEC going to a 9-game schedule. I think that's different than the way most of us felt a year ago. It seemed like the momentum was building in that direction, but now maybe a surprise may come at the end of this week. But, you know, kind of everything we've heard throughout press conferences and the hallways this week, it sure seems like the tea leaves are kind of pointing towards sticking with 8 conference games.
We have a couple of athletic directors still to come. We have one of the most influential people from an administrative standpoint in college athletics, Dr. Mark Keenum, and the commissioner will join us as well. I bring all that up to ask you this. Perception. You write for one of the largest newspapers in the world, let alone the southern states. Your view from that perch about how this is going to look, depending on where it lands.
I think it's going to play weak if the SEC stays at 8 conference games. You look at the other leagues, the Big Ten's been playing 9, the Big 12 plays 9, the Pac-12 plays 9, and here the SEC is, you know, on the verge of expanding to 16 teams. I mean, we just saw it on the reception last night, Paul, on the pool deck. They had the neon sign that says, it just means more. I guess that applies to everything but conference games. And, you know, we've heard talk from coaches this week about how, oh, well, we don't know how conference scheduling is going to factor into the playoff committee's strength of schedule conversations. Well, I don't see how it's going to be any benefit to play fewer conference games. And I think that's one thing that the SEC will leave itself in danger of as we see the playoff expand from 4 to 12 teams. You know, with a 4-team playoff, the path to the playoff was pretty clear. Lose as few games as possible. You know, go 13-0 or 12-1, and you have a great path to the playoff from the SEC. I think the dynamic looks a little bit differently when we're talking about a 12-team playoff with 6 auto bids and 6 at-large teams. I think there's going to be a lot of cases there where it comes down to the final spot, and you're debating between a couple of 9-3 teams. I think you would leave yourself on a little bit of shaky ground if you're a 9-3 SEC team that played 8 conference games, you played an FCS opponent, and you're going up against maybe a Big Ten team that's played 9 conference games and no FCS.
Yeah, to me, that's the most pertinent point. The rest of it, listen, you live in the South. We don't really care what anyone else thinks, especially some columnist at a national newspaper, but we do care if the committee leaves out Alabama or Tennessee or Texas. Or someone like that. That's to me is the most salient point I've heard, because all this other stuff is just about, yeah, you're right. It doesn't make the league look strong, but we can counter that by saying, okay, what's the next shot you want to take? But the playoff does matter.
I mean, I do think so. And you look back at the rankings over the years, if we could kind of play this back and have that 12-team playoff, I think there would have been some heated debates, some tough conversations that committees would have to have. And, in some scenarios, you're going to be splitting hairs between 9 and 3 teams, as I say. Now, it doesn't all come down to conference scheduling. I mean, say you went outside the conference and you played 2 marquee Power 5 non-conference opponents and you beat them both. Well, then maybe all of a sudden your resume looks a little better. But in the cases of similar resumes, I just think the SEC risks putting itself into a corner there if it's going up against a team from another conference that's played an additional conference game and one fewer cupcake game.
I mentioned the commissioner, and he'll be with us, so it certainly will be a question we'll ask him. But, he is, without really any debate, the most influential person in the game right now. He has indicated, and I have yet to run into anybody who doesn't believe that he wants 9 games. So I asked the question to you before I get to him. Why do you think he has been reluctant to push that? And maybe he will in the next 48 hours.
Yeah, and I don't know how reluctant he's been. I mean, I think that's your interpretation that he wants 9. That's my interpretation. Yeah. I he won't come out and say it publicly and pound his fist on the table that he wants 9 games. But I think when you interpret Greg Sankey's comments and listen to what he's saying, he's really laying out all the arguments for 9 games. And I'm not hearing too many arguments from his side on 8 games. And I do think this will be a test of his clout and his strength in this conference. I agree with you. He is at near the top, if not the top, of the most influential people in college sports. I think we saw that very clearly in the 2020 season. You know, when we go back to the pandemic year, would college football be played? Would it not? And Greg Sankey really showed his leadership at that time. I think he earned even more respect from people of power inside this conference, talking about chancellors and presidents. And that's the other thing we have to remember on this conference scheduling. It's not going to be the football coaches voting. Their opinion matters, of course. We know that their opinion matters to their ADs and their chancellors. It's not going to be ADs voting. It's going to be the presidents and chancellors voting, and that is
Isn't
one
there
longer.
An exception, though? Doesn't Saban get the presidents voted out?
Well, yeah. At 13 schools, it's going to be the presidents and chancellors voting. But, that is important to keep in mind, I think, because I do think Greg Sankey, while he's respected by coaches and ADs as well, I think he's earned a lot of respect in that space.
I'm just postulating here, but, I mean, he, while he keeps up and he probably – we'll know what you've said and everyone else said, he'll digest that. And I'm just theorizing that maybe this is not the hill to die on right now. There's so many other things going. It seems like to us it is, because it's a topic du jour, which brings me to what most of the viewers of this show and listeners are interested in, and that's what happens on the field. So I ask you, as someone who views this a little from a higher altitude than others, just where we are right now on the football field. I heard a question this week that I didn't think I would ever hear to Kirby Smart. Do you feel like your program has passed Nick Saban? It may not be true. It doesn't matter. It's being asked. It's being discussed. I mean, among the peanut gallery.
Well, it is true. Paul, I don't know if we can say it may not be true at this point. They went back to back. You win one, you can excuse that away, et cetera. You go back to back, I think at this point we have to say Georgia's on top of the mountain. Doesn't mean Alabama can't get back to that point.
Of course not.
But when we look at things on paper, for whatever that's worth, on paper going into the season, I have more questions about Alabama than I do about Georgia. I don't know about you, but
no.
Starting with
I get most of my information from you, so I agree with you.
Yes, sure you do, Paul. starting with the most important position, right? And obviously Alabama has a number of options there, and one of them may turn out to be a good option. But you have to go back a few seasons, I think, to find the uncertainty that Alabama faces at quarterback now. We know there's talent and promise on the offensive line, but some of it's young, some of it's unproven. I don't necessarily see that bell cow running back in the backfield at Alabama we've seen in other years. I don't know that I see that first-round NFL wide receiver that we've seen. And so you know, you can interpret that and think, oh my gosh, you know, Alabama's on the verge of a cliff. No, that's not what I'm saying. But there are more questions there with Alabama than there are with Georgia. And again, we're on the heels of Georgia already won two in a row.
What you don't know, and what will come out at the end of the week, is that Nick Saban came up with a five-star in Rome, five-star quarterback that
I wouldn't be surprised.
No one else had ever heard of.
Maybe that's why he was over there.
I hope it was, because Kirby Smart got the number one quarterback in the country while he was there. Which brings me to someone else that could make this run. I know you've written about Brian Kelly. Everyone seems to be locking into him. Is that the program? A year after we thought Jimbo was the program. What's your thoughts on what's happening down there?
Well, I don't know that he's heading toward Jimbo territory.
No.
last year, being grossly overhyped the way Texas A&M was, because I look at LSU and I see a team maybe on the fringe of playoff contention, and once we see them in week one against Florida State, depending on how that goes, maybe we'll be removing that phrase of on the fringe of playoff contention. I mean, I think of all the important week one games that'll sort of shape the narrative for the season to come. That's the one I'm most interested in, in LSU and Florida State, because I think both those teams, you know, if we're going to build out a list of maybe 10 or 12 teams as we sit here at this juncture that we think could make the college football playoff, I think those two teams have to be on it. And, you know, we talked about the uncertainty at quarterback for Alabama. LSU doesn't have that. And, you know, as we know, it doesn't all come down to one position, but LSU really has an embarrassment of riches at quarterback to have both Jaden Daniels and to have retained Garrett Nussmeier. I also think Brian Kelly, you know, for all the publicity that Lane Kiffin gets for the self-proclaimed portal king, and he has done it pretty well in the portal, Brian Kelly has pretty quietly, or more quietly, done a very effective job, I think, of supplementing LSU's roster via the portal, particularly, I think, in the defensive secondary. That was an area of concern for them last year. I think he really went after that hard in an effective way via transfers to kind of shore up that issue for LSU.
And to me, on Brian Kelly, Blake, and I knew him at Notre Dame, and you know, I frankly thought he was a gruff, surly guy from Massachusetts that would not be engaging. I have been blown away by the personal interactions with him. I mean, this is not the same coach that was up in South Bend, and he is. You know, he may have gotten a few hoots and hollers when he first got here, but he's not getting them anymore.
He seems relaxed to me.
He does.
And it's interesting. I think there was a perception, and I may have been guilty of this too in the early days, that the pressures of the SEC you know, would be unlike anything he's seen. How would he react? And yet, despite all that, he seems more relaxed than he ever was at Notre Dame. And upholding that Notre Dame image, I think, can put a lot of strain on an individual. There are different pressures in the SEC, as we know, but I do think maybe that pressure of being the front man for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish for as long as he was, that's a different type of strain on someone. And when you speak with him, you just look at him, it almost seems like a little bit of a weight's been lifted off his shoulders. And the other thing is, every time you talk to him, you hear about how much he wanted this challenge of being in this conference, and I believe it. I really do, and you hear some of the things LSU said about scheduling and nine-game conference schedules, and that backs that up. I don't know. He does seem incredibly at ease, and I'm not sure I would have expected that coming into the SEC, but he seems like he's at home here, as much as you could say someone from Boston's at home in the South.
Blake Topmeyer, always great. I'm riveted every time we have these conversations, and we hope you'll come back soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Paul.
We'll take a short break. We have a long way to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back, and we appreciate all of you joining us. We've been moving a lot today. The beach is gorgeous, and we just could not spend our last day at the Hilton Sandestin Beach at Miramar Beach inside. So we said, you know what, we'll come out and check it out. And Matt, thanks. Matt Baker joining us. Thanks for being here.
Sure.
Just heard from Billy Napier. You had a chance to spend some time with him today. Just give us your impressions of where he is before year two, a big year two.
Yeah, he understands the challenge ahead of him, right? And he's embracing it. He knows the expectations, where at Florida you're supposed to win trophies, plural. He's not shying away from that. But I think he's also been candid, if you kind of read between the lines in certain ways. He's been candid about how this isn't an overnight process. It's going to take time. He had a really good program at Louisiana Lafayette. They didn't happen overnight. It took time. And then year one coming in the way he did, where, you know, got a week and a half to come up with the first signing class before the early signing day, the new wrinkles of transfer portal and NIL, it's maybe kind of put things behind a little bit, maybe more than he expected.
I get taking time. That's what it takes sometimes for programs. But we are talking about the University of Florida here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't want to say their fans are less patient than anybody else, but I will. I mean, this is a program that knows its history exquisitely well, and just doesn't put up with a lack of success for long. So, understanding what Strickland told us yesterday, what Napier told you today, knowing the schedule, how do these two ships meet without crashing?
Well, they very well might crash. We've seen that before with this program, right? I mean, the two most successful program or coaches in the history of the program kind of got burned out in Spurrier and Urban Meyer. You look at what's happened with the last couple, right? Where how quickly Will Muschamp went out, Jim McElwain, Dan Mullen. All of them had some successes but couldn't sustain it. So they were all, you know, shown the door because it's the fan base that is used to not only winning, Paul, but winning a certain way. They want to score 50 points and win that way. So at some point that's going to come to a head. I think realistically, with the way the money is with Billy Napier's contract, even if they have a rough season, as I expect them to, you know, that 6-6 plus or minus a game in that range, it's they're not going to be in a position where they can get rid of him. They're not going to be in a position where they can buy him out. I think everybody expects there to be a big-time year three that's going to be kind of the make or break. And well, Florida fans have to accept
I
that.
I mean, these are things we ask maybe premature, but not really. What would it cost?
$31 million, I think it is. I think it's 85% of what's left on his contract. So more than 30, let's put it that way.
It's a big number, especially you have a new president. I'm not exactly sure what that impact is, but
it is an impact. Sorry to interrupt, Paul, but it is an impact.
Yes. You know,
Ben Sasse, the new president, is a big time athletics guy, right? He was a former senator from the state of Nebraska, and he would work at Cornhuskers games, right? Like selling sandwiches. He is a big time sports guy. This is a big part of The way he views the job as president at the University of Florida in a way that his predecessor, Ken Fox, did not. So not saying it's good or bad, just different. So I certainly expect him, as this goes forward, to have a heavy hand in that. I don't know if that means forcing a decision on getting rid of a coach after 2 years, which, again, I don't think that's going to happen, barring scandal or just disaster. But I think that's a factor in there.
Yeah, no, that's an enormous number. I mean, it's not Jimbo Fisher territory, but it's also Florida versus Texas A&M.
Florida doesn't have oil money.
Yeah. Matt Baker, this is a conversation we've had often. This was a very intellectual approach to it. We'll continue this throughout the summer as we get toward media days. And thank you for coming on out here and suffering through this beautiful beach.
At least I get to see the beach rather than being cooped up downstairs, right?
Well, glad you could come out. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks.
We talked a lot about Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC. We'll meet the athletic director for one of those two schools in just a minute and find out how the transition will be going here shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We are back, and we're delighted for the first time here. We've had a couple of opportunities to talk to Chris Del Conte, but not in person, and we hope this will become... I think it's going to become pretty regular. I know he'll be. I don't know. You never know about yourself, but the new among the newest members of the SEC, the athletic director at Texas, and you go to a lot of these meetings right now. You have Big 12, and now you have SEC.
It's been pretty funny to juggle both, right? Actually, Big 12 meetings are going on today up in Greenbrier, and I'm zooming in as we're in the middle of our meetings. It's pretty. It has been not for the faint of heart.
And I'm sure they're just thrilled to have you zooming in.
Probably not, but we're a proud member of the Big 12 for this next coming year, so we have to make sure that we leave in the right way and make sure we represent this institution in the right way as well.
This may not be really fair, but why not? You've had a chance to experience the SEC for now almost 2 years from a distance. Now you're getting a chance to see it a little bit closer. Your impressions just from a very short period of time here with your about-to-be colleagues.
Well, what's interesting is because I've known significant a lot of the ADs for his friends for a long, long time. But just to watch Commissioner Sankey, I've seen him from afar, but how he conducts business, how he involves coaches in decisions and administrators in decisions, it's just, you hear about it until you're immersed in it and you see what an unbelievable leader he is. And doesn't shy away from issues direct, has conversations, his agendas, he keeps copious notes, is... Structurally, I've never seen anything like it. It's unbelievably impressive.
That's a remarkable. I mean, and yeah, he's no longer a new commissioner. It seems like he just got here, but he's almost been here 8 or 9 years. And what you're saying has been represented so often. So, in terms of all these questions that come up, and I know you were asked earlier, you'll continue to be asked. Anytime I'm visiting Texas, it's all about the game. There's a lot of games for Texas. Everybody wants to play Texas. I've talked to Arkansas people. I've talked to Missouri people. I've talked to obviously Oklahoma and naturally A&M. What's going to happen?
I don't know. What I'm really excited about is the fact that we get to have rival college football, and your show specifically is all about embracing rivalries and the fans that embrace those rivalries. When you listen to your show and the call-ins, you go, "Who is that?" And they become fans of themselves, but they become great personalities, right? You look at us. For us, playing Arkansas again is so awesome. Coach Broyles and DK are retired on the same day in 1976. Sure, the Arkansas games mattered to our fan base so much in the 60s and 70s. A&M, we've been playing in A&M forever. You got Oklahoma. You have Missouri from the old Big 12 days. But across the board, we've had great games with LSU. I mean, we just Alabama game last year was great. But for us to elevate ourselves to the programs we're playing and to come back to our rivals, that's what college sports is all about. And for Texas, we know who we are at all times. But the fact that we get a chance to take our brand, or who we are into the SEC and compete at the highest level, we are excited about that opportunity and thankful that we were given that opportunity.
Well, we're delighted. When that news broke, I think I do know what it was like on your end, but at the SEC media days, I mean, there was a buzz that I've never seen before, and I've covered this league for 150 years. It was remarkable, and the anticipation. You mentioned the football season, and I, ADs have always have difficult decisions, but you brought in Steve Sarkisian a couple of years ago, well known in this league, having worked at Alabama. Just your thoughts on him, what's in front for him, and this, especially, you know, what he has been through to ascend to the level that he's at.
Well, I tell you, I've known Coach Sarkisian for a number of years. When I was at Arizona, he was at USC. So I've known him for a long, long time. He's a tremendous mind. And I think would not be remiss that our chairman of the board, Chairman Altaif, President Hartzell, the leadership at our institution has never been stronger. And they've allowed this move to happen. They embrace athletics. They understand what it does for the institution. But we're an academic house first. And we were having discussions about who to hire. One of the things we all zeroed in on was the growth of Steve Sarkisian and who he was as a person. He's a really, really, Paul, you spent some time with, he's an impressive young man. And we can all look back at our lives and say, God, we were perfect, weren't we? What life is about is how you respond to adverse situations and what he's done about himself and rebuilding his story within our team. But you look at our culture, I think we had two guys transfer. The portal has been ineffective at the University of Texas because of him. When he took over, we had about 54 scholarship players. He built the roster the right way. And getting us prepared for this opportunity, we have a great challenge in front of us, and this year's the Big 12 schedule. But I'm so proud of the roster, the team he has, and more importantly, how he conducts himself representing our institution is phenomenal.
And speaking of that institution, because, I mean, I had the opportunity to be on a panel a couple of months ago with the dean of your communication school, and he's now, I think, the president of a school up east. And we were talking about the academic part, and that is a really, I don't want to say at any school it isn't, but Texas academics is a high level. This is not a school you just apply and get in.
No, you think about public institutions, arguably top five public institutions in the country. When you look at the kids that come to the University of Texas, it's the decisions that they're making at the end of the decision. It's Cal, it's UCLA, it's Texas, it's Michigan, sometimes Carolina. But we're really in that four quadrant of who we're with. To get in a school, you have to be in the top 6% of your high school. So the type of kid that we get, we always tell our student athletes, when they go to school there, you're competing against the very best in the fields. But in the classroom, they're the very best in the country who you have to compete with academically. So we're always mindful of the balance of both, but it takes, we have a saying in Texas that's pretty, but it's poignant. The winning traditions of the University of Texas shall not be entrusted to the timid nor the weak. That applies to the classroom and the playing fields. Because who we play matters. When we walk into a state, we played Arkansas 2 years ago. You were at that game. It was the wildest
it was
game.
Incredible.
And I'm walking through the tunnel back in, and I look over at Commissioner Sink. He goes, how about that? He goes, that was the greatest thing ever. I mean, that was fantastic. We lost the game. We knew. But Steve also said, hey, here's what we got to do to get prepared for that game. And that game was fantastic because it gave us a barometer of what we need to do offensively and defensively on the lines. Got to get big dudes.
And I know this has been a well-hashed-out subject, but I am curious to go back because, couple of years ago, Texas was in a unique position. USC was in one as well. There are not many schools like that that can pick and choose and go wherever you want. But you chose here. And I know it's something that is in the past, but it will come up again in the present and future. Was there a particular attraction, or what was it that led Texas to the SEC?
It was an unbelievable conversation with our chairman of the board and President Hartzell. And we had these conversations about what. And we looked at where Texas is regionally, what matters to our fans, what matters to college athletics in general. And those conversations centered around leadership in the SEC is second to none. Every one of those programs are competing at the highest level. That's where we should be. That's where the University of Texas belongs, and we should be in that league. And when the conversation was presented to Commissioner Sankey from our leadership team, and he offered this opportunity, there was no debate about the Big Ten, the Pac-12, anywhere else. It was, if this is a possibility, this is where we should go. And it started with our chairman of the board and President Hartzell when we were just discussing what was going on in the landscape of college athletics. And they both said, is that possible? And we'll find out. And it was possible. Mm. Isn't that crazy?
It's insane because it's just not. It's not something that, you know, when Texas was nearly went to the Pac-12 for a lot of the reasons you said earlier. I mean, the academic brotherhood. It was not something that we really gave much thought to. But thankfully, it happened.
And that's not in the SEC. You have Vanderbilt. You have Florida. You have Georgia. Yeah. You have great academic institutions that people look at and say they do amazing research. President Hartzell did an amazing job at looking at what everyone does in the SEC and go, you know, let's not mistake that this is more than a football conference. It's an entire athletic conference made up of unbelievable academic institutions that sometimes they'll say, well, not really. Then when you do a little deep dive, it's an impressive group. Mm.
Chris Del Conte, I'm, you're all supposed to sit here and be neutral, but I can't wait.
I'm pumped up. But we got one more year, my friend.
Okay. We'll be waiting for you. Thanks so
appreciate
much for coming
it.
Out.
Thank
here.
You.
We'll take a short break. We have a lot more to do, including the commissioner of the SEC in the final hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we're back. We still have another hour to go, and you do not want to miss. Mitch Barnhart will join us, the commissioner, and we'll be here as well. A lot of questions for him. And then Mark Keenum, one of the most influential people in intercollegiate athletics, the president of Mississippi State, and the man who hired our next guest, who is Zach Selman. Our first chance to say hello to you. I feel like I know your family very well, having, you know, being the son and nephew of, you know, two of the greatest players in Oklahoma history. And by the way, next July 1st, we'll claim that history in the SEC.
Love it. Love it. Can't wait. No, it's been fun. We've grown up in a sports family. You know, clearly my dad and uncles playing college football and then playing in the NFL for a while. And also I had three older sisters that all played college basketball. So had no choice but to play college sports. And it's changed our lives. So that's why I'm so glad and so fortunate to be a part of all of this.
And Zach, I know most people would say, "Well, you're a senior administrator. You get a chance to be an athletic director. It would be an easy decision." But knowing your history and knowing the time you've spent in Norman, I would think you had to give it a lot of thought.
Yeah, had a great setup. Working for a great guy in Joe Castiglione, who I've known for a long time. But I think anytime you look at these opportunities, it starts with who you're going to be working for. And the first conversation I had with Dr. Keenum was special. Just a connection, know that he, the vision that he's got for our university, but also the valuable role he sees intercollegiate athletics playing for the young people that we serve. So after I had an opportunity to meet with Dr. Keenum and see again his vision, yeah, I was so eager. Told my wife we're ready to join his team.
And you have, and as everyone watching and listening knows, you come in the middle of winter in one of the more difficult times in the history of Mississippi State with the loss of a legendary coach. Tell us and take us through the transition for you and dealing with a lot of heartache on that campus.
Yeah, I think give the credit to people that Dr. Keenum and his team and his wife, they've led the celebration of life for Coach Leach. And then also our current coach, Zach Garnett, the way that he was able to get his arms around the locker room. Sometimes you forget that we're dealing with young people, and not only the young men that we have in our locker room, but also just the personal side of the relationships that Mike had in Starkville. He had deep, genuine relationships, and any time that something like that gets taken so quickly and abruptly, I think there's a lot of challenges that come with that. So I just commend all of our Starkville community and Mississippi State how they handled an unfortunate thing. You know, not a day goes by I think people don't remember the great life of Coach Leach. And I think Coach Arnett and I talk a lot about what we're going to try to do is build upon what he and his family helped put instill for us.
Zach, it's you come from a very famous football family. You're an athlete yourself. Address what is happening now with young players, and you're still a very young person, but even you have to be a little bewildered by all this.
Yeah, cause, I mean, I played, let's see, my last season was 2007, and so, I mean, we thought it was really cool when we could play on the video games on EA Sports. And so, and we were so excited, and we just got a scholarship check, and, my sisters all played a handful of years before I did, so hearing what their experiences were, so we've made a lot of progress, and that's one of the things I think we haven't told our story good enough of all the progress that we have made for our student-athletes. It's a great time to be a student-athlete, and hopefully we can control it within college athletics. The practitioners of college athletics really show what we're doing is really good. Now, clearly there's some changes that have been made and continue to need to be made, but all the student-athletes that I've spoken with directly know that we've got a really good thing. The opportunities we provide at Mississippi State, the opportunities that we provide within the SEC, they're special. And I hope, just as somebody that's came from a family that literally our life's trajectory has changed because of college sport, hopefully we don't let so many people from the outside really challenge that.
Talking to Zach Selman, the Mississippi State Athletic Director, we'll talk to Mark Keenum a little bit later on, the president. We just had Chris Del Conte on, and I just feel like in fair play, we heard he extolled the greatness of the University of Texas, and no one is disputing that, but I would like to, before you go, I realize you're at Mississippi State, but Oklahoma is in your blood. What are we going to expect?
I'm still mad with Chris Del Conte. The first tie, when he was the athletic director at TCU, he bought me a tie, so I'm still saying you haven't sent me a Mississippi State tie yet. But no, Oklahoma, Texas are a special rivalry, and I know having them added to the league will be really special, so I'm excited about just where we're going. And again, Commissioner Sankey, the job he's done, and the leadership of both Texas and Oklahoma to get into the SEC, it's going to be special. I know we're excited to have them in Starkville.
Now, I've been to games in Austin, and I'm fortunate to have been to a game in Norman, and I just think that athletic directors are going to just nobody really wants to play them, but you want to see them on your home schedule, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm circling it because I've actually never seen a game in Austin. I've always went to the games in Dallas, so I'm really excited to take the Bulldogs to Austin, have a good time.
Well, I look forward to that, and hopefully I'm very confident we'll be in Starkville, and we'll see you. But congratulations again on ascending to this position and for what you represent, and we thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you a little bit better.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul.
Zach Selman joining us here as we are wrapping up the third hour. We'll talk to one of his new compatriots, Mitch Barnhart from the University of Kentucky. The commissioner will be here shortly, as well as President Keenum.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.